Start there. Read a verse of scripture, and we'll start there in Psalms 127. We're going to continue this morning what is a series of messages on family matters and things about the home and about the family and about the responsibility of the individual members of the family. We talked the first week, began on Father's Day, and we talked about dads and their responsibility, husbands, men in general. Last week we talked about the ladies and mothers and wives and their responsibilities in those individual roles. And today we want to talk to you about, children and what the parents' responsibility is in relation to the children and what the children's responsibilities are and things that they need to be taught in relation to the family. Next Sunday morning, more than likely, we will continue this series. And we will be talking about some of the extended family and talking about grandparents and also addressing the situation that people that many find themselves in as being single parents and what the Bible has to say about that. And I think it's very relevant. It's important that we understand that there are some directions, instructions in the Word of God for all areas of our life. When I first came out this morning and saw the size of the crowd being rather small, I thought, well, now that's the danger in announcing ahead of time what you're going to preach on. But at any rate, I hope this will be informative as well as a blessing to you as we talk about parents and the responsibility that you have. Now, you might think, well, all my children are grown, I'm done with that, and so forth. But you know, all of us, regardless of who you are, from time to time, have an opportunity to have discussions with people about biblical issues. And, you know, it's good that if you have if you're a grandparent and you have children that are raising children, and you want to talk to them about how their children are being raised, that you do that from a biblical perspective. Because then it's not just you picking on them or condemning them, but able to share some scriptures from the Word of God about what God says about children and their place in the family and our responsibility as parents. So I hope that you'll take this information and be able to use it. In Psalms chapter 127, there's a wonderful verse there. Verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now, in thinking about this subject and talking about this subject, I want to start here because I think it's important to understand and realize that when a person or a couple brings forth a child, they have a great responsibility in doing so. And the idea of that responsibility is almost been completely lost in our society today. In Gloucester, Massachusetts, most of you probably have heard in the news this past week how that 17 seniors in the class there in that high school are expecting babies. 17. And that some suspect that they formed some kind of pact and said they all wanted to, all these girls. I don't know about that. I've heard various stories. But the point is, regardless of any of that, is that children are being brought forth without many times two parents, and the parent that is bringing the child forth thinks very little about the responsibility of raising that children or that child for 18, 19 years. Oh, they're infatuated with having a little baby and they look at it like a little doll or something, you know, and they don't stop and think about the fact that that child is their responsibility. And the reason they don't stop and think about that many times is because they don't take the responsibility. I saw a segment on the Good Morning America several weeks ago about the number of grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. And, you know, as I saw that, I thought how terrible it was on the one hand that these people are having children and not raising themselves. But on the other hand, you have to say, thank God that there's somebody there that's willing to take that responsibility. Thank God for those grandparents that are willing to step in and take the responsibility. I heard another statistic this week, and that was that in the African American community, that 70%, now think about this, 70% of the children born this past year to African Americans were born out of wedlock. 70%. 7 out of 10. Now folks, all of this that I'm talking about is going, and does already, but is going to have a tremendous impact on future generations. Because we're raising a whole generation of young people that have not had the influence not only of two parents, but they have not had the influence of the instruction of the Word of God. And so people need to take seriously the responsibility in bringing forth children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They are a gift from God, and as such, they ought to be treated as such. I'll tell you, it breaks your heart. I don't think there's anything harder in life that I can think of than for a family to lose a child in death. I mean, you know, you expect to lose your parents. You expect as you get older to lose your spouse and your brothers and your sisters. But I was thinking this past week, Will was playing in a ball tournament over in Harrison. And one of the teams in that tournament was from the community where the little boy was killed on the four-wheeler this past week. They showed a clip of that on TV the other night, and the coaches were talking with the players, and there were those little boys, and they were just weeping their eyes out and bawling their eyes out over this young man that had died in this terrible accident. And, you know, you think about that, and you think about the love that parents have for children. The singer a while back, the musician, the Christian musician, I can't remember his name right now, Steve Chapman. His little girl back, somebody in the driveway there, I think it was his son, backed over her and killed her there in the driveway. And many of the members there in the family standing in the yard and saw that. And you know the hurt and the heartache that comes from that kind of thing. And yet, what's so disturbing is that multitudes of people that have children and they're alive and they're well don't really appreciate them to the extent that they're willing to do what God desires for them to do as far as being a parent is concerned. So the first thing is, I want you to understand that children are an heritage of the Lord. Notice over in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is very specific. Our apostle, the apostle Paul, is very specific in giving instructions about our responsibilities. In Ephesians chapter 5, we saw there, it starts out in verse 22 about the wives submitting yourselves to your own husbands. And then in chapter 20, or verse 25, he talks about the husbands loving your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then he talks about in chapter 6, verse 1, children. And then in verse 5, he addresses servants. So he covers the whole gamut of responsibility in relation to operating on the basis of God's Word. He says there in Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now you know that's about as simple as the instructions He gave to Adam and Eve. We always talk about the simplicity of God's instructions. He doesn't make it complicated. He simply says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, notice now, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That tells us that the instruction and the direction that the children are to be brought up in is to start with the father. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we know in most situations that the mother spends far more time with the children than the father does. But as we talked about the headship of the father as being the head of the house and the spiritual head and so forth, we see in the Scriptures that that principle continues in the bringing up of children. The father is to set the tone. He is to set the guidelines for the way that the children are to be brought up, and he's to do it biblically. He's to do it in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the children are to obey their parents. Now, you know, it would be one thing just to say, well, the Bible says children obey your parents in the Lord, so children obey your parents in the Lord. But you know, the thing about children is that as they come into the world and they grow up, you have to teach them almost everything that they do except to be bad. That's the one thing you don't have to teach them to do. That's one thing. They come in the world with a nature that will automatically direct them to do that. To lie, to be sneaky, to be deceptive or whatever. They have that sin nature in them. And so when a child is born into the world, it's an amazing thing to watch as parents bring up their children and you know, how they'll take their hands and they'll guide them and they'll teach them to walk. And they'll teach them everything that they're to do. And when they get to the age, parents are generally excited when their child says that first word or two. And they'll repeat words to them and they'll read to them and they'll teach them to talk. Teach them to walk. Teach them all of these things. But you know, what is clear in the Bible is that children also have to be taught to be obedient. And here in Ephesians 6, it's interesting that Paul uses a reference back to the Old Testament in talking about children. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." People oftentimes ask, well, why in the world did Paul ever refer us back to the law when Paul says we're not under the law and so forth? Well, you might remember several years ago I went through and I did a message on the Ten Commandments and showed how that Paul taught us to keep every one of those commandments except for the one associated with the Sabbath. And what's interesting here is when Paul says that this commandment, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. What he's referencing there, go back to Exodus chapter 20, is the fact that most of the commandments, when they're given, are just simply given in a direct manner without a promise associated with them. For example, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet, and so forth. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The reason that that is said is because of the means of discipline that was used among the nation Israel. Look, if you will, over in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21, that's the verse I was trying to think of. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and into the gate of his place. And so he shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a gluttonous and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, and he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. In the nation Israel, as a community of God's people, there were some certain instructions, and they said the way to put evil out away from them was to take out that stubborn and rebellious son that would not obey and actually stone him to death. Paul said that the commandment of honor thy father and thy mother is the first one with promise. And he says that they ought to keep that, and he says that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on the earth. And the idea there is not that they're going to take you out and stone you to death, but the idea is that a child brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord who follows those instructions will not be subject to many of the things that might end up causing them an early departure. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be free from diseases and all that kind of thing or accidents. But the Bible says that you're going to reap what you sow. And if you're going to rebel and live a rebellious lifestyle and do those kind of things that you know are contrary to the will of God and the Word of God, then there's always the chance that you're going to reap what you sow in your flesh. Now, as I said a moment ago, in talking about children, we have to start, obviously, with the responsibility of the parents. And we see what that is, to bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is to instruct them in the Word of God, to teach them that they are to be obedient. And, you know, obedience is really the first step. I was thinking about the idea of training a child and the correlation between that and training soldiers in the military. And I guess the reason I thought of that was because my dad was a drill instructor, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but because Mary asked me yesterday what I was going to be talking about today. She's not in here, so I can say this. Don't anybody tell her I said it. Hope she won't listen to the tape. I told her, I said, well, I'm doing the third part of the series, and it's going to be talking about children. She said, well, do you have any new illustrations? Now, I knew exactly what she was talking about. And I said, no, I don't. I don't have any new illustrations. I'm just going to have to use the old ones. She said, well, I guess that's all right. And I know what she's talking about. I've talked about how my dad raised me and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm not going to go through all that today. I promise you, I'll spare you all of that. But he was a drill instructor, and I was raised sort of like a drill instructor you would expect to raise you. There were things, for example, just some very basic things that are biblical. When a parent tells a child to do something, let me ask you, Andy, when a drill instructor tells somebody in the military to do something, or your superior tells you, how many times do they have to tell you? One time. I mean, and they don't stand around. You know, I was out, when we were out in Colorado, we stayed out on the air base there because my sister's retired from that, and she was able to get us into the guest house. And so I got up early one morning, went and got coffee, and they were marching to breakfast. And these were new cadets there at the academy. And I mean, boy, they had those guys spiffed up, and they marched in order, and everything they were told to do, they did it instantaneously. And I thought about that. You know what obedience is? Obedience is teaching your children that telling them one time is enough. A parent should never have to tell a child two or three times to do the same thing. A child can be taught, listen to me, a child can be taught that one time is sufficient. I see parents all the time, out in the malls and different places, and they'll tell their child, quit doing that. Put that down. You know, or be in Walmart. I was in there the other day, and I was standing in line. Lady in front of me, she had two kids in the buggy. And as you know how they put all the candy and stuff right there where you got to stop with your buggy so the kids can see it right at eye level. And so a little girl picked up back the gum and said, can I have this? She said, no, you can't have anything today. We don't have to put it back. She said, she put it back. She picked up something. Can I have this? She said, no, you can't have that. She said, don't you pick up another single thing. Little girl reached over and picked up something else. After about four or five times, she said, if you do that again, you're going to really be in trouble. I said, in my mind, that woman's lying through her teeth. That little girl ain't going to be in trouble. She did it again, and you know what she did? She just jerked it away from her and put it back. And then she said something about, I'm going to count to three. You know what? It's entirely possible to train that child, even at 4 and 5 years old, that when mama says no, you don't pick it up again. You know how you do it? You inflict punishment when they don't obey the command. You should never have to tell a child when you say, hey, come on, it's time to eat, to go back and have to tell them again, it's time to eat. I mean, listen, children can be taught, and the reason this is important, folks, is that these children are going to grow up to be adults one day. And you know what? They're going to act and react in the workplace and in the society that we live in accordance with the instruction they had and the discipline they had when they were growing up. I managed people for 25 years there at Blue Cross. When I retired, had 26 people that reported to me or my managers. And you know what? Without exception, I knew to a T which ones had been disciplined as children and which ones had not. Which ones had been spoiled and given their way and which ones had not. You as parents, you see, it's not just a matter of making life easier. It's hard. It's actually harder. I remember my sister, she came and lived with us when her children were very small. Her husband was overseas. And those were some of the meanest, craziest, wildest youngins I've ever seen in my life. And she just wouldn't make a mind. And she said, I just get so tired of it. Just get so tired of having it. It's hard work. It's continual work. I can't tell you the times I came in and Mary was in tears. Over all day long, dishing out the discipline. And it's just seemingly, it was no end. It's hard to do. But you know what? It makes your children far more enjoyable. It makes your life far more enjoyable. And beyond even all of that, it prepares them to live in a world of rules and restrictions and government. And it keeps them from being rebellious against the authority in the later years. When Mary was babysitting years ago, she babysat for a little boy. His name was Kevin. And it was an amazing thing. That little boy was never any problem. He would do exactly what we told him to do. And I told his mother, I said, I can't have, when we were babysitting, I said, we can't allow a child to be in this house that we babysit for or Mary babysits for that we treat any differently than we do our children. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, when our children disobey, they get a spanking. I said, so therefore, when your child disobeys, if we keep him, he will get a spanking. I said, not a beating. You know, we're not abusive. When I slap them in the face, there's a place that God made to be spanked. Doesn't have a lot of blood vessels and stuff. And so I said, that's where we do it. She said, well, okay. It was interesting because I would get home from work before she picked him up almost every day. Come in, the kids were playing, having a good time. When she walked in the front door to pick up that child, Buddy, he started acting up. And that happened for about 3 or 4 days. And on the 5th day, I told Mary, I said, when she comes to pick him up, if he does that today, I'm taking him back to the bedroom, and I'm going to wear that bottom out. She said, Steve, you're going to make her mad. We're going to lose his job. I said, I don't care. I said, we've got to maintain consistency here. She said, I don't know about that. I said, that's the way it's going to be done. So she called him in. She said, listen, Kevin, when your mother gets here today, I want you to come in here and sit down and be a good boy and don't act up. Well, right. She came in. He came in there, fell on the floor. I don't want to go home. Started kicking his feet and everything. I said, come on, Kevin. He wouldn't move. I went over, picked him up, carried him back in our bedroom. I told him, I said, you cannot behave like that when your mother comes in here. And I took a belt and I gave him spanking. Boy, he was screaming. I came back in there and his mother was as red as a beet. But she didn't say anything. Next week, Monday, that was on Friday. Monday, she shows up, she brings him, doesn't say anything about it. Never had much problem in the morning because he's always about half asleep. That afternoon, I'm sitting in the living room, Mary's sitting in the living room, drinking her coffee. She comes, picks the child up. He hears her, and he's in that back room back there, and he comes running down the hall, and he gets over to her, and about that time, he says, ah! And he looks back like that, and I'm looking at him. And he went and sat down, and didn't say a word. And you know what? There was never another problem about him acting up. One time. And you see, that woman had never in her life, I talked to her about her lately because she worked where I did, she had never one time spanked him for anything. She reasoned with him. She put him in the corner. She had time out. All this kind of stuff. And I said, don't you see and understand how you could have so much, how it could be so much more enjoyable raising that child if you would just follow what the Bible says. Yeah, but I just can't bring myself to hit him. I just can't do that. Well, we reap what we sow. I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs, and I want to read several verses here. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about that. And I will acknowledge that there are times when there's other... The Bible doesn't exclude other forms of punishment. But it does tell us in the book. And people say, well, why do you go to Proverbs? That's the Old Testament. Well, the Proverbs are full of wisdom that doesn't restrict itself to the Old Testament. These are principles. There are many Bible principles that run throughout the Word of God. And if you can't find anything that negates the truth of these verses in the ones written directly to us through Paul's epistles and Romans through Philemon, then we ought to take heed to them. But there are just some very practical verses there in Proverbs that we all know, and yet there's so many times we just seemingly forget about applying these principles. And you know, you look and you wonder, why is it people have the relationship with their kids they have? Well, there's several reasons. Number one, sometimes parents have missed really what their role is as a parent. I mentioned to you last week that so many times parents feel like it's their role to be their child's friend. It's interesting because I heard a talk show this week and it was addressing that very thing, that they were talking to parents and these parents said, you know, they had to realize a long time ago that they wanted to be friendly with their children, but they had to be more than just a friend. They had to be an instructor. They had to be a guide. They had to direct their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And in doing so, you have to take that place of responsibility, even though it's difficult, and be willing to apply the verses of Scripture that we find in the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13:24. Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now, there's several things. Well, you know, we always focus on the rod there, but there are several things in that verse that are very important. Number one is the idea that the parent that loves his son is the parent that disciplines. You see, today people look at it just the opposite. Parents think they're showing that their children aren't going to love them or they're not going to believe their love if they're disciplined. The Bible is just the opposite of that. The Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him," and it says, "betimes." You know what that means? More than once. That means over and over and over again. It's a continual process. Look over in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. Another concept here that's very important because, you know, there's a time coming when your children are going to be too old for you to discipline. They're going to be on their own. And Proverbs 19 addresses that. Proverbs 19:18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. How many of you ever got a spanking when you was a child and you started crying before you ever got hit the first time? I did. Always did. I thought the quicker I cry, the quicker he's going to quit hitting me. But it never worked. As a matter of fact, I remember one time in particular, I was getting a spanking and a whipping. I shouldn't call them spanking because when I got them, they were whippings. And my dad said, "Well, now, if you got enough, you think you've got enough to cause you to change your behavior?" And I said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." He said, "I don't think you did." And he started again. You see, don't let your children's response to the punishment determine the punishment. Whining, crying, belly aching. "Well, nobody else has parents like this. Everybody else gets to do this. Everybody else in the world. I just can't believe you're so cruel." This idea of cause everybody else does. Won't be like everybody else. Everybody else gets to go here. Everybody else gets to go there. You're the worst parent. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You don't have responsibility for anybody but yours. As Brother Brian would say, yourn. You've got children. God gave you those children. They're your responsibility. They're a heritage of the Lord. And don't despair for their crying. Do what is right according to the Word of God simply because it is right. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Verse 15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child." You know what it means to bind something? It means it is strongly imputed. It's there. It's bound. You know why it's bound there? By the sin nature. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." You see, there's a way. There's a way that seemeth right, and there's a way that is right. Look over in Proverbs 23. In Proverbs 23, verse 13. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Withhold not correction. Why? Because children need correction. They need direction. They need instruction. They need that as much as they need food. They need that as much and more than they need entertainment and socialization. You know, it just amazes me today how that this thing has gotten so out of kilter with parents believing that they're good parents because of what they provide their children with materially, socially, economically and all these other things, and yet have not provided the one thing that is the greatest need in their world, and that is correction and instruction that's in accordance with the Word of God. Withhold not correction from the child. When they need correcting, correct them. Say, well, I don't have time. Take time. That's too hard. Doesn't matter. That's what the job at hand is. Do the job. You see, as I said, parents have lost sight of what their real responsibility is. They want to be simply a friend with their child. Well, you can be a friend, but you've still got to maintain the place of responsibility, the place of authority. Withhold not correction. And you think, you know, parents are not, their responsibility is not simply socialization, even though socialization is important. The parent's responsibility is not to be an entertainment director for the children. It's not to just find things for the kids to do to keep them happy all the time. Listen, kids, your parent's responsibility is not to make you happy. I know that comes as a shock to a lot of kids, but that's not their responsibility. Now, that's not to say that they'll try to make you miserable. There should be happiness in the home. But you know, it's just like with a husband and wife, we were talking about that. Husband looking at his wife, and the idea is make me happier. Or the wife looking at her husband. I had a lady tell me a long time ago, just a while back in a counseling session, he just doesn't make me happy anymore. I said, well, that's not his job. She said, well, it is too. I said, well, show me in the Word of God where he's supposed to make you happy. She got mad and walked out. You're going to find happiness, you're going to find it within. And your happiness is going to come about by who you are in Christ and your response to His will and His Word in your life. It's not going to come from outside sources. You see, we've confused happiness with joy and entertainment and all these kind of things. We just balled them all into one. And we feel like we've got to always be doing something that's fun, something that's entertaining. Well, that's not what life is about. That's just the fringes of it. My grandkids sometimes, they say, boy, I want Papa's life. He's got it made. Don't have to work. Go to the movie anytime he wants to. Sit in the recliner all. Just do whatever. It's like we're going to a ball game. And he said, Papa, how is it that you don't have to work and you can still make your house payment? And I said, well, Will, and I was working at Blue Cross. They put money aside. And so now I still get a check every month, even though I'm not working. He said, what? He said, you get a check without working? I said, yeah. He said, sweet. Hey, it is sweet. But you know what? There was a price that was paid. There was some work that was done. There was some labor that was... You see, we always look at other people's life and we say, boy, if I could just get to there. Well, let me tell you something. Along with that retirement, along with being there, comes the bad knees and all the other things that come along with old age. It's not all it cracks up to be. Happiness, folks, is within. Happiness is finding, understanding who you are in Christ and resting in all He's done for you. Just a couple more and we'll close. Proverbs 29:15. Just very practical instructions from the Word of God. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You see, your children shouldn't dictate what goes on in your house. Your children shouldn't run the show. I've heard of people say, well, if, you know, ask them, can you imagine a parent asking their child if they want to go to church? You want to go to church today? Nah. Okay, we'll stay home. Yeah. Listen, the children are children. Parents need to learn to be the parents, not do what the child wants to do. Don't worry about it. A child, the Bible is very clear here. It says, the rod and proof give wisdom. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. You know what leaving a child to himself is? It's allowing them to act upon their own wills and their own wishes. Doing their own thing. And let me tell you, it can start when they're little bitty, because they already have a will and a way. And they'll fight, and they'll kick, and everything else. But bottom line is, they need to be taught who's in charge, who's in control. Look in verse 17 here, the same chapter. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know the wonderful thing about disciplined children is there's nothing in the world more enjoyable than being around disciplined children. And there's nothing more miserable than being around those that aren't. And that's the one thing I can say, folks, about this church as a whole. And I know there's probably one or two exceptions. I won't have any. But as a whole, I don't see any children around here that are undisciplined. And you know, sometimes people get a little offended, but I have the tendency, if I see a child doing something they ought not to do, whether they're mine or not, I just tell them. And I've never had any parents get real mad about that. Because children need to be taught to respect their elders and respect the authority that comes with them. I remember the first year Tim played baseball over at Rivermont here. Some little boy was on there about 6 years old, and I heard the coach tell him to do something. They said, "I don't have to do that. You're not my mama." I thought, man of man, I can't ever coach baseball. They'd have me in jail the first week. These guys that coach, I have to hand it to them. They got a lot more fortitude than I do. Because you see, the majority of kids in this world, the reason that they're having the problems they're having now with the teens and so forth is because of the failure to do what we've been talking about this morning. Rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of reproof will drive it far from you. I hope that these simple verses will help us to understand the importance and responsibility of bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as you have opportunity to share these with other people, not to preach to them or condemn them or anything like that, but just simply to try to instruct people, because it is important. And it's important, children, for you to understand that you have a responsibility. You see, you could make it a lot easier if you simply obey Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents because it's right. Children, obey your parents. Don't argue. Don't fuss. You know, that old thing is people saying, well, why? Well, because I said so. Because I'm the parent. There's times when there's nothing wrong with sitting down and discussing with your child why you made a particular decision. But there's times when you tell your children to do something, they deserve no explanation other than because you're the mom. I hope most of you have seen that thing. It's on YouTube where that woman does "I'm the mom" to the over to her thing there. Goes through all this stuff, this fast talker, and it ends up because I'm the mom. I'm the mom. I'm the mom. That's reason enough. Young people, your parents, you young people in this auditorium right now that have godly parents, rather than being resistant and rebellious, you ought to thank God every day that you live in a Christian home and that you've got parents that love you and care about you and have your best interests at heart. And when they tell you you can't do something or you're not going to do something, it's not because they're trying to hurt you or cause you harm. It's because they're looking out for your best interest. I can see that now, looking back. like Mark Twain said, when he was 18 years old, he thought his dad was the most ignorant man on earth. And by the time he was 21, he wondered how in the world he learned so much in 3 years. Your parents have the wisdom, have the instructions of the Word of God. And what they're doing is for your benefit, not for your harm. Therefore, you ought to praise God for godly parents, and praise God that you have the Word of God available to you to provide for you instruction that you might live a prosperous and when I say prosperous, I'm not talking about money-wise. I'm talking about spiritual-wise. Would you stand with me for prayer?